somewhere on our bodies have scars from a time that something happened. And when you look at that scar, a lot of times you remember. There's sometimes you can even, that feeling can even come back of what happened with that. But you know what God does? God turns scars into stars. He turns trials into testimonies. And those things that are so hurtful, those things that broke us, they in turn become something that shines, not because of the bad that happened, but because of the good that comes out of it. And it becomes a testimony of not who we are and how great we are, but who God is in our life. Heaven on earth. There's a song. If you've been here any length of time, you've heard it. One of my favorite songs here, Graves into Gardens. That's what God does. He has defeated death. He's overcome death. He gives up a promise beyond death. And he turns it into life. God's plan. God's plan is a future. I don't care where you are in life right now. I know what God's plan is for your future. It is a plan for hope. It is a plan for peace. It is a plan for love, and it is a plan for joy. And I don't mean just a little bit. I mean God-sized. Do you need any of that in your life right now? Do you need any peace in your life right now? Do you need hope in the midst of something that you just can't tackle yourself? Do you need love? You need to feel what it's like just to have unconditional love. Would you like to have joy? That just no matter what's going on, it's just good. Deep down, joyful in your soul. No matter where you are in life, God offers you these things right now. If you're not a believer, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's the first step. And it's not some magic thing. It's not some magic to walk down an aisle here, but it's something you do in your heart. And if you haven't done that, you can do that today. It's not a magical thing, but I can be a part of it. I can help you. If you're still not sure about it and you want to talk to me, we can do that. But I'm telling you, it is not. Jesus Christ paid the price for everything. So he paid it all. And it's a big commitment. But it's also pretty simple. It's an acknowledgement that we've messed up. That we've fallen short. That we don't have it all together. And we tell God that we're sorry for that. For that sin, that stuff in our life that separates us from Him. And then we acknowledge that God sent the Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. And that was a sacrifice. And that pays the price for those sins. And through Him, when we claim Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we ask for that forgiveness, His blood pays the price for that. And He rose again. If He hadn't risen, it wouldn't do anything. But He rose again and He defeated death. He became the ultimate sacrifice. But as someone told me this week, even Satan knows all that. So it can't just be a mind thing, because Satan's not a believer. He believes. He knows what happens as well, if not better than you and I do. He was there. But what he hasn't done is he hasn't made Jesus Christ his Lord and Savior. And that's what has to happen. Is you come and you say, God, I want to be yours. I want to live my life the way you desire. And I don't have the ability to do that on my own. Will you help me? And he will. The God of the universe has the power and ability to do that. And he will. So that's the first step. But after, if you've done that, I'm telling you, you can have this hope, peace, love, But it's more than that. Once you have it, guess what? When you get excited, really excited about something, what do? When you get excited about something, what do? You tell somebody. If you are excited about who God is and what he's doing in your life, if you're really excited about it, you are going to tell somebody. Nobody's going to have to train you how to do it. Nobody's going to have to give you steps how to do it. If God is real in your life and things are going on, you are going to tell people about it. You don't have to have instructions. If your favorite ball team won some, they came back, and you don't have to have all the stats in front of you. You don't have to have somebody that's an expert in baseball to tell you how to share that story. You share it from your experience, and it's full of excitement and enthusiasm. And when Jesus Christ is real in your life, we do the same thing. It doesn't mean we stand on a corner with a Bible and beat people over the head of it and tell them how bad they are. No, it's not about that. It's about telling others how good God is in our life. And if it's really happening that way, you can't stop people from sharing it. And it's not something that becomes offensive. It's not something that's judgmental. It's just a part of who we are. It's heaven on earth. And other people want some of that. So, heaven on earth is possible. We pray for it in the Lord's Prayer. Why do we pray it if we don't believe it's possible? Why? Will you accept it? Then if you accept it and that becomes a really, truly part of your life, are you willing to share it with others? I asked one of the guys at the jail this week. In fact, I met him for the first time this week. First time he had been to our Bible study. I thought I was going to trip him up just to make a point. They don't get upset with me. They know I do that all the time. In fact, a lot of times Ray's sitting beside me. I'll trip him up to make a point too. But they're not as easy to do as Ray is. But so I ask him, when do you receive your reward for accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior? When do you get your reward? And I just knew, just looking at him, the way I built it up and stuff, he was going to say, when you get to heaven, brother, when you get to heaven. And I was going to say, no. That's not what he said. He looked at me like, I hate to say this, but it happens immediately. I said, really? He said, yeah. Like he's teaching me now. And I said, so you got this kind of relationship with God, and you believe God can do anything for you? Yes. Do you want to be in this jail right now? No. Would you like to get out tomorrow? Oh, yeah. If God can do anything, why don't you just pray that he lets you out of jail tomorrow and you get out? He said, well, I don't know if prayer really works that way. He's telling me this. He said, that's more of a transactional prayer. He used that word. I ain't never read that word in the Bible. I won't talk that word in seminary. The only time I really remember transaction is what you do at the bank. But I looked at him and I said, you are right. Because when we pray like that, it's a transaction. It's something that we're saying, God, we want you to do this, then we're going to go on and do our thing. He said, it's got to be about more than that. And he said, I want what God wants for me. He's on a track that's a good one. He's on a track that a lot of people sitting in churches today don't get. Because when they pray, they're praying transactionally. God, make me feel better. God, give me this. God, fix this problem. God, get rid of him. Well, maybe I don't mean that, but get him out of my life anyway. But those are the type of things we pray instead of saying, God, help me to be the person you want me to be. Use where I am. Use what's going on. And that is the very essence of heaven on earth. So when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, do you mean it? Praise team, you can come up. I'll move this back over for him. So I encourage you to use the Lord's Prayer. If you struggle praying, if you struggle knowing how to pray, Jesus said it. It's not coming from me, it's coming from him. Jesus said, pray this way. But hopefully you understand it's not just saying those words and, okay, I've done what Jesus said, now I can go do my thing and things are going to be better. No, that's not what Jesus meant. He meant take time to embrace each part of that Lord's Prayer. And I believe there's probably not an aspect of what you're going through in life right now that prayer doesn't touch. And you could spend hours just on one part of it. But today, the part we focused on, the part that I want to invite you into, is this idea of heaven on earth. And to know what my new friend at the jail knows. That no matter where you are, God desires to be a part of it. And if God is a part of it and you acknowledge it and you respond to him, even sitting in a jail cell can be heaven on earth. And he knows that. Are you able to say that where you are in life right now is heaven on earth? And if it's not, do you desire to come to God and say, okay, God, maybe I just haven't given it to you the way I thought I had because I'm not living the life that you want me to live. I'm not experiencing the joy. I don't have the hope. I don't feel peace. And Lord, you know that it's not as joyful as my face might show sometimes. And people, we get that from one snippet of the Lord's Prayer today. Will you respond in whatever way God leads? The altar's open. Our church doors are open. I'd love to talk to you about having Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior if you don't know or you aren't sure of that. Maybe. I don't talk about this a lot, but it just came to me, and I guess it's part of because of our mission trip. Sometimes that whole idea of heaven on earth means breaking a routine, like we've talked about in the summertime that happens, but to think about being able and willing to do something different. Maybe God's placing a calling on your life right now that you can't imagine. Maybe you know that God would like to disrupt your life in a way that just doesn't make sense, that would be very uncomfortable, that means sacrifice, but you're really thinking God may be a part. If that's the case, I would encourage you to take a step towards God. I'm not saying throw everything to the wind and just make a decision right now, although if God's calling you to do that, I'm not going to tell you not to, but I'm saying God calls us regularly. And sometimes it's small things, sometimes it's big things. But are you responding to the calling God has in your life? Maybe that's a part of your next step in experiencing that heaven on earth. I don't know what it is, but God wants heaven on earth for you. Claim it. Lord, once again, we just thank you for your scriptures. We thank you for the truth that's in there. We thank you for this example of how to pray. And Lord, for your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven means that there's a desire that you're moving in our lives, that we're feeling at least a taste of what it's going to be like in heaven, and that because of who we are, things on this earth become more like what they are up there because of who you are in us, through us. God, help us to have the courage to move today in the direction you call us.